Hi, my name is Nela Milic, the curator of the Balkanizing Taxonomy Research Project, part of my PhD in visual sociology. The project consists of a textiles and photography exhibition, a website which serves as an information and networking portal, and a symposium that took place on the 15th of November 2008 at Goldsmiths, University of London. In this podcast, we hear from Zlatan Krajina, a participant of the symposium who presents a paper, Audiovisual Politics of Televised Imaginings of the Balkans and the Near East.
It's my pleasure to present at Balkanizing Taxonomy Symposium, and I'm especially glad to be presenting at a college which has been known for stepping beyond and, in fact, tackling the theoretical mainstream. And when I first came here to do MA in Media and Communications 2 years ago, I was confronted with a very dynamic surrounding, which was bursting with cultural diversity, exchange, and to me, this was quite invaluable. In fact, I could put my own views to test and challenge my own stereotypes that I had about other cultures. But I could also find available at hand common understandings of the Balkans, which were living their own life outside the rather homogeneous and small Croatia where I come from. If news is a media text that enforces its power by presenting what is out there in the world, well within its canons of ethics, balance, plurality, and structuring effects, as scholars in media, Heath and Skiro, put it, then I thought there had to be something in news that works so smoothly in communicating ideas about other cultures which somehow do tend to be consistent. Although this country has been paying a lower interest in European topics than many other Western European countries, the research shows that it has been the most referenced country when EU issues come into question. In that context, television has been the mostly consulting medium. Now, this is what I'm doing today. But there has been a complex unrest that has been contextualizing discussions about what kind of unity the EU imagines over its single geographical entity, and that is the continent of Europe that I need to present you with. The East-West divide has been a motor for integration since the Cold War on the basis of shared values, the democratic system, market economy, and administrative accession ability. Nonetheless, the idea of common European identity remained a problem. But as Morley and Robbins remind us, since West is essentially an arbitrary allocation, being given according to specific cultural parameters, Europe's imagination of its borders could be found residing in what Bakich Haydn called gradation of Orients, whereby all ethnic groups define their other as east of them. Accordingly, the Balkans are Western and Central Europe's east, whereas Turkey is Balkans' east, Asia is Turkey's east, and so on. This brings us back to the present Europe's quest for the other that would take the place of the communist other that vanished when the Cold War faded. And even some research showed that the Balkans were conspicuously absent from the dominant discourses before the Cold War ended in that way. The new screenings of the intense awaiting for European Council's decision in 2005 on whether to start the negotiations with Turkey and Croatia sheds light on the sophisticated cultural refurbishment of new old fronts of Europe's margins and its others, the Orient and the Balkans. I analyzed four BBC television news reports that were thematically surrounding the start of the Turkish and Croatian membership negotiations with the European Union in late 2005. The stories were made on the terrains of these countries as a look at the newcomers. In such media representations, Croatia and Turkey were mapped in the moment when their future belonging in the political unity of the EU was negotiated on the ground in the offices of the EU in Brussels. And the perceived level of Croatia's and Turkey's respective then compliance to the specific EU set of values was televisually displayed and publicly negotiated. In this sense, it is in this sense that I wish to address the need to constantly research and go back to media representations of the other, which may be a bit old-fashioned today nowadays in media studies, but this would be not so much in terms of, say, reinvention of tradition or in the perhaps more old-fashioned ideological reproduction, but in terms of representation strategies wherein individuals, communities, societies, supranational unities like EU do quite seamlessly negotiate boundaries, relations and power ratios between them, all of what is much more successfully made unclear on the ground in the physical world. News is commonly understood as one of the pillars of democracy. That is a very commonly shared understanding because it delivers the viewers the information they need in order to perform as citizens, but also, as the Glasgow Media Group researched back in the 70s, in fact, the news is the manifestation of the collective cultural code. The news is not a neutral product. So I'm here not interested in objectivity of journalists or their reports, which I'll show, nor their bias. I'm rather seeing the news as cultural artifact, partaking in the mediated public space of appearance that both reflects and constitutes the world, as Silverstone once noted. And with these informational and cultural qualities of news texts in mind, the news is best understood as a mapping tool, which, according to Hartley, as you can see, organizes, selects, and renders coherent the innumerable sense impressions we might experience on the ground. So this disparity of the ground and what is mapped through the audiovisual representations is taken as inherent to the genre. In this way, news proposes differentiations of the land that are inaccessible outside this map. Methodologically, my aim was to suggest what Hall, Stuart Hall designated as the preferred readings of the text, as a point where power intersects with the discourse and which is grounded in the operations of such audiovisual language. Literature says that, as you all know, stereotypical images of non-Western cultures continue to resort in the Western visual cultures. It is nothing new to say that Turkey and Croatia are Europe's respective others living within it. By looking at the common characteristics of classic travel writing, Orientalist and Balkanist representations studied most notably by Edward Said and Maria Todorova, I wish to understand the prevalent audiovisual dynamics of expression in the news stories, because I would argue it is particularly the storytelling nature of news that allows it to produce and reproduce broader cultural assumptions on the representational level of sheer facts reporting. On the other side, for the viewers, the other that is encountered in the news is who he is only on those screens as speakers, Roger Silverstone once said, and identified media's work as boundary work, within which judgments of inclusion and exclusion are made. If that other appears on the television screen coming from outside one's dominant cognitive, moral, or aesthetic map, such as the Eastern countries into the Western and Central European Union, they are understood as strangers, causing immense unrest, or in Zygmunt Bauman's words, by their sheer presence. Still, any attempt to deconstruct the screening of the other must keep in mind that the screen is not only the medium through which images are projected for us, but also the screen onto which we project our fears, fantasies, and desires concerning the others against whom our identities are defined and constructed. And this is the theoretical leitmotif of my study that was originally written by David Morley and Kevin Robbins. As I assume most of you here is familiar with, in the classic representational discourse brought to light by the most notable study, Orientalism by Edward Said, Orient is a man-made imaginative geography wherein a Western tradition of thought, imagery and vocabulary creates and sustains Orient as frozen. One of its most important characteristics is that it is Europe that articulates the otherwise silent and dangerous Oriental space beyond familiar boundaries. Europe and Orient are sustained in a relationship of a strong and a weak partner. Similarly, Maria Todorova studied the Balkans and the representations of the Balkans, whereby a specter of the Balkans has been haunting Western culture within a disturbing indeterminacy between barbarity and civilization. And more concretely, Balkanist discourse resembles the Orientalist imaginings of Europe's East as a socially backward, irrational and immobile place against which the positive and self-congratulatory image of the European and the West has been constructed. The reason why I took Croatia and Turkey into the single register is because they were represented in that way at that time. This was broadcast in, I think, a week's time during these negotiations. And Turkey is bordering Balkans in many ways, and Croatia is well in Balkans, so. Okay. Map of Turkey. As we saw, it was an oriental place of haunting memories and landscapes. You could see it from the opening shots. The Orientals did not speak for themselves. It is a continuity from the 19th century onwards. Still in the news report, the reporter was retelling the sound clips, as we saw in Croatian stories. And when the guy from Turkey was talking, he wasn't really representing himself or the Turks, but an institution, and was looking aside, so was only seen talking. Appropriated to support the Western view of the other within a duality of modern versus traditional life. I'll just really rush through them because this has taken too long. And Turkey was not represented as itself, you know, as a single entity, but what it was in relation to the West. We saw images of industries, figures of economic growth, which is a common Western idea of measuring development. Yeah. It was brought to the viewers in relation to its present activity at Europe's borders, which is the application to the EU, and was linked to the past empire activity. Europe's fear of the Ottomans was now reduced to Austria's fear for the Ottomans, and there is the subversion here. You know, if anyone was wondering, could this go any other way? Well, it could. There is also the discourse of Occidentalism, right? And one could argue that Austria was Occidentalized there, with its paranoia within the Western inner other. When we saw the waltz dancing, the Austrians were portrayed as, you know, erect, rational, precise, this, which is also a stereotype of West. I mentioned this as well. And as we saw with the closing shots, Turkey was exoticized as a spot of the exotic, the mysterious, the profound. Croatia. The old tension between the irreconcilable camps of Christianity and Islam, against which Christianity built boundaries in the Balkans. Balkan men traditionally uncivilized. There were a lot of shots of these guys sitting in a bar with in a dark environment, smoking a lot. And the lady was portrayed from the back of that place where she was living, with also a lot of shading and a lot of darkness. She also didn't speak for herself, of course. There could have been subtitles, but she was retold and shortened. The classic Balkan stereotype of hatred. Exclusive national sentiment around love or hate. There was no medium, said Todorova. And the issue of the lady's proper home in Croatia was the classic idea that European civilization was held responsible for each improvement in Balkan civilization. A weak and backward entity, Croatia, was counterpose to before a strong and ordered system, which was the EU. And we saw images of the Croatian coast, which is maybe more familiar here, which was transfixed with these emblems of the Western investment, right, with economy. And also, we saw in the second story, the prosecutor, before I go to the conclusion, just two more points. The prosecutor came to reassess Croatia's cooperation, a sense of country's immobility and inferiority before this individual evaluator came to mind there. And as the Western individual comes to assess the country in need of, as Hammond put it, policing from without. In this spectacle, she said, "Don't ask me nothing because I will tell you nothing." But what was actually told was this single evaluator's power over the whole country that throughout the report, in fact, remained silent. And I'm sure you noted the close attention given to any word the prosecutor would utter, even if all she says that she's saying nothing. Yeah? We saw the imagery of the general with other men, with the social arrangements, the extended families, clans, tribes, which was a configuration that outlived the 17th century, thirds over pasture land and roots. Nowadays, as Todorova says, it breeds supposed Balkan violence and is special for being archaic and more violent than Western violence. Yeah. To conclude, I'll just give you this quote from Zygmunt Bauman, which I thought was very powerful in this context. "For sensation gatherers or experience collectors that we are, difference comes at a premium, especially in this way." The opening shot in the Turkish report gave us this vertical arrival from space. So in this metaphysical way, it gives us a very good way to understand this. So we came horizontally from space, you know, avoiding any gates of admittance on the ground that we would normally have to confront, and news picked up everything as all there is, you know, and not saying whose position it is. There were oppositions, East-West, advancement, tradition, family, individuality, and the other remained as an appearance measure of proximity, which was limited to the spectacleness, to the visual display that we were confronted with. Not alternativity, not indifference, but alterity in this way. Croatia and Turkey, as you saw, were leveled in a gradation of Orients, as we saw in the theoretical overview in the beginning, whereas Croatia was less Oriental or less Balkan than Turkey because it was Eastern and far away, and it, as we saw, it was touching Asia. So whose choice and whose worry was from the introductions to the stories. All the stories were introduced as a worry of Turkish people, you know, about entering the EU, and the choice that Croatia has to make about joining the EU. But I'm leaving this question to you on whether whose choice and whose worry it really is. Kristeva says the foreigner should be recognized as the hidden face of our own identity as a way of going beyond.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find out more about Balkanizing taxonomy, please visit www.goldsmiths.ac.uk/balkanizing-taxonomy.